Hi, my name is Mitch Stewart. I'm a Democratic campaign consultant. But previous to being a campaign consultant, I was actually in the trenches, like many of you are about to be. I started working on political campaigns in 2002. I've then traveled all over the country working on races in almost every region of the country you can imagine. I started working on statewide races. I've worked on presidential races. In fact, in 2007, I started working as then Senator Obama's Iowa caucus director. I traveled to about 10 primary states after that Iowa caucus. I was then in Virginia in 2008 during the general election. I was the national director of something called Organizing for America in 2009 and 10. So 7 years ago, I spammed the entire country multiple times. And then in 2011 and 12, I was the president's battleground states director on his reelection effort, and so was responsible for the 10 battleground states that ultimately put President Obama over the top and passed 270 electoral votes. And so I'm really excited to be here today because we're going to be talking about how you can, as a candidate or a campaign manager, or maybe just as an activist, use the environment as a winning campaign issue and hopefully to become a more effective communicator when talking about the environment. And so there's a series of modules and trainings that you'll be able to go through and hopefully learn a lot and take from. And this is the first one. And so what we're going to be talking about, our goals for the course, equip you with the skills needed to become a winning candidate, if you're a candidate watching or participating, a savvy environmental communicator, and hopefully a more savvy manager for people who are trying to get to 51% in a general election or whatever the plurality is in a crowded primary. The outline, we have four different modules. This module, module one, will be sort of a background and framing the debate on the environment, how you can talk about it. This is hopefully the table setter for you. You'll then be able to go through creating a pro-environmental message. Module three is incorporating then an environmental platform into your campaign. And then finally, talking about the environment in the era of Trump and how complicated that can be, both the pros and cons. The goals again for this module, again, it's called Background and Framing the Debate. And I hope that you will all have a deeper understanding of how a pro-environmental message can be a winning message for your campaign. But quickly, before we jump into how you effectively use the environment as a campaign tool, I just want to take a step back and provide maybe a more holistic approach to how at least I see campaigns. And it's really simple. You have your mission, you have your goal, you have your strategy, and then you have your tactics, right? I think everybody understands that. And so I think for most of you, your mission is to make the world a little bit of a better place, maybe in your own local community, maybe it's in a congressional district, maybe it's statewide, or maybe you have ambitions that are countrywide or impact the world. That's your mission. You want to make the world a better place. And I think that's probably universal, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican running. Your goal is to win. And so in a general election, that's 51%, 50 plus one. You need to get to more votes than your opponent. If you're running in a primary, depending on how many candidates you have, that's a plurality. And you're going to have to determine what that number is. Is it 35%? Is it 40%? Is it a really crowded primary and 25% is enough? But ultimately, you're going to make up that decision or that number based off of your own unique circumstance. So mission, we're going to make the world a better place. Goal is to win, So the next question then is strategy. So what strategy am I going to employ to make sure that I accomplish my goal, which will then allow me to accomplish my mission? And in political campaigns, there's three different strategies that I found help you build your list of supporters so that you get to either 51% in a general or a plurality in a primary. And that is persuading undecided voters. That is registering voters who are supporters of yours but are not yet registered. And then the third is increasing participation or motivating your base to get out and vote. And regardless of the campaign that you're running, whether you're the candidate or the campaign manager, you're going to have a series of messengers and messages to employ to hopefully effectively employ one of those three strategies, often in concert with each other. And so as you're thinking about this, as we're talking about the environment, make sure that in your own mind, you're taking in, okay, am I trying to persuade somebody here? Am I trying to motivate or mobilize someone to go vote, maybe go early vote? Or am I trying to get someone who is not yet registered, but a supporter of mine, to take action to actually go register themselves? And what messages am I going to use to hopefully start that interaction, to get that person to take that step? Does that make sense to everybody? And then finally, tactics, the step below that. These are all the different tools you have in your tool belt to employ those three strategies I laid out. And one of those tools is talking about the environment. And for too long, I think candidates have shied away from talking about the environment, either because they didn't think it was a winning issue, or they didn't know how to effectively utilize talking about the environment in a winning strategy. And I hope this module will provide you some foundation then to start making some of those decisions on your own. So number one, and this is maybe the most important part, voters care about the environment. Not only do they care about the environment, their support, their recognition, their concern has continued to increase over time. And so you can see here in 2000, basically it's average from 2001 to 2014, this is the baseline. Look at where we are now in 2017. Voters believe that scientists are concerned about global warming. Yes. Voters believe that global warming is caused by human activities. Look at that, 68%. They believe the effects of global warming have already begun, especially in this most recent season with all the hurricanes that we're seeing coming out of the Atlantic. Voters worry a great deal about the impact of global warming. And then finally, think global warming will pose a serious threat in their lifetime. Now, we're not at a majority in these two, but look at the growth that you're seeing. And as time continues, more and more voters will likely, if the trend continues, and there's nothing to suggest that it won't, more and more voters are going to become concerned and likely take action. One interesting tidbit, though, is that in the history of like Gallup polling on issues, the biggest partisan divide right now are on these environmental questions. So Democrats and independents are actually driving these numbers, not Republicans. And so just make sure that as you, again, communicate to some people who are either undecided or may have a different worldview than you, that you're conscious of how you're communicating or talking about the environment. You can't use the same messages to a very liberal Democrat as you could to a moderate Republican, and you just have to be mindful of that. 52% of voters identified say that the environment is very important to their vote. We're going to talk about this a little later on, but how you define environment is really, really critical. The more local you can make it, the more impactful it'll be. 59% of Americans say that the US government is doing too little in terms of protecting the environment. So as an elected official, the voters have a set of expectations of what you're going to do to address it. And it's easy to think, well, this is a national issue, in some cases a worldwide issue, certainly. But the most impactful or most, you know, to have the largest level of support, you need to localize this. And so what are you doing as a local candidate or a local public office holder to address environmental concerns in your city, in your community, in your state? And again, this is one of the ways that people talk about the environment, and it's overwhelming support. 91% of Americans support maintaining our national parks, our public lands, and national places should either be a very important or fairly important goal for the for the federal government. 91%, pretty staggering number. 77% of voters, of 2016 voters, say that reducing greenhouse gas gases causing climate change should be either very important or fairly important for the federal government. So again, there's almost universal acceptance of the problem and some expectation from voters that you as an official public office holder or a candidate are going to address it. This is what they want to hear from you as a candidate. And so it's just an important reminder, even though 77% of American voters understand that greenhouse gases cause climate change and it should be a very important issue, after the 2016 election, we elected a president who did not support this and basically disagrees with 77% of the country. And one of the keystone accomplishments from the previous administration was the Paris Treaty that sort of set the world on the right path. And our president withdrew the U.S. from that. And so it's just important to understand that, you know, elections have consequences, real world impact, especially about issues that you fundamentally care about. And, you know, the Paris Treaty is a great example of that. You know, I've worked on a lot of campaigns, most of the candidates I've talked to or worked with or advised are really trying to engage millennials, trying to engage communities of color, trying to understand how they can talk to women in a way that cuts through the noise. And as you can see here, the environment is probably the best way to do that. And if you think back to what I talked about before, these three different strategies, you can, if you're looking to do voter registration, you're talking to people 18 to 34 primarily. And you can see how important. Do you think the climate is experiencing unusual change, or do you think the climate is just experiencing natural change? 71% of young people, millennials, say it's unusual change. The highest on the board here. Well, second highest. People of color, 72%. You don't have to convince them that climate change is real. You just need to engage them. This can be a message that gets people to take action. And registering to vote, maybe volunteering, you're going to want to engage that millennial group. You want to talk to and go into these communities of color and talk about the environment. You should do so because those voters are with you. They understand where you're coming from. Do you believe that the recent climate change is primarily caused by human activity or not? Again, look at this, overwhelming. 80% of non-white voters believe that. 78% of millennials believe that. 72% of women believe that. So you're not having to convince anybody of the threat. It's just a matter of tweaking how you talk about climate change so you get them to do one of those three things I talked about earlier. Change their mind, register to vote if they're not registered, or vote if they weren't likely to vote in the first place. So now, how do you connect the campaign? How do you connect your campaign to the environment? So there's a couple questions that I always kind of think through as I try to do this. What are the most important environmental issues in your community right now? So I grew up in South Dakota. I grew up on the Missouri River, not literally on the Missouri River, but in a town right next to the Missouri River. And South Dakota is a really interesting state in that it has the Black Hills in western South Dakota, and then generally plains, a lot of corn and wheat in eastern South Dakota, but the Missouri River divides it. And so for me growing up in the southeastern part of South Dakota, the Missouri River was the issue to talk about when it comes to the environment. Another issue that I would try to talk about that would make sense in my local context was conservation. Because sport, you know, hunting and fishing is a cultural thing that a lot of us did growing up. And making sure that there's habitat for those birds, or that the streams are clean so the fish are swimming, is really important. And so, you know, as you're thinking through how do I communicate about the environment, take into context your local community. What's important there? It doesn't have to be talking about climate change. You don't have to be talking about these big worldwide issues. You could talk about it at a very local level. What issues are being overlooked in your community? What do you feel like is not getting the attention that it should? What people or groups are the key stakeholders in your district, and how are they focused on it? So we had a lot of environmental groups in my town that were concerned about the Missouri River. And so there was already an organizing entity at play there that I could engage that could then help me employ one of those three strategies I talked about earlier. There's a university in my hometown. And so when we talk about millennials 18 to 34, you could go on college campus and talk about the environment and get them activated. So make sure you understand who in your community is either with you or maybe against you, so that you can target groups and the messages you use to get them to take action. I talked a little bit about this earlier, but make sure that you think about the environment at all levels of government. Don't just, you know, push this off to the federal government or to a statewide office holder. The environment impacts all of us at the local level. The environment is an umbrella issue. When I say the word environment, everybody has a slight alteration of what that means to them. And so here's some examples. Wildlife protection and conservation, I talked about that. Public health, you know, we're talking about asthma, clean air. Public land and preservation, clean energy, clean air and water, and standing up to special interests. All of these, and we'll walk through this, can be effective ways to communicate about the environment depending on the message and the audience that you're engaging. So public health is a key aspect of talking about and delivering a message regarding the environment. So reduced air and water pollution equals healthier people. I think that's a lot of common sense in that statement. But you can actually go and find resources that monitor air quality. And so if you live next to a big factory or industry or heavy industry that is pumping pollution up in the air, that's going to impact your hopeful constituents, the people that you're going to represent. Water quality has been on the front page almost this entire year with the contaminated water that residents of Flint are dealing with. And so there are real world applications to this that at the very local level really impact people. It's going to resonate with those voters. Here's one of the false comparisons or false choices that your opponents might bring up. They're going to say, well, if you support the environment, then that means you don't support the economy. That's not true. It's not true anymore. In fact, it wasn't ever true. Pro-environmental policies actually boost innovation and drive economic growth. And you're seeing that almost every day, whether it's electric car companies, solar installers. I think the fastest growing sector of the economy right now in the energy field are clean energy jobs. And so if you support the economy, you have to support an environmental policy that supports that industry. This is one of my favorites. So special interests, always tie tax on special interests back to the impact of your voters. And so big oil is certainly one of the boogeymen that people who support the environment have tied their attacks to. And so your opponent may be a supporter of big oil policies. You should bring that up. The Koch brothers or the Koch industries, you should bring that up as a way to make sure you show the voters whose side you're on. Either supporting big industry special interests or you're supporting common voters in your district. Here are some do's and don'ts on language that I think are really important. So talk about clean energy and jobs, not green energy and jobs. Green energy means nothing. I don't know how that got in our vocabulary, but don't describe clean energy jobs as green energy jobs. It doesn't make sense to voters. Climate change or climate disruption, not global warming, because as Republicans have been want to do from time to time, if there is a cold snap in the late spring, they'll say, well, global warming is a hoax. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about climate change. That can mean places get a lot hotter, could be a lot drier, or in some weird cases, maybe even colder. So talk about climate change or climate disruption, not global warming. Carbon pollution, not carbon dioxide, CO2, or climate pollution. Be very clear about what it is. Asthma attacks as opposed to asthma. Safeguards or protections, not regulations or rules. And that's a really important one because voters are going to tune out when they start hearing about regulations and rules as opposed to safeguard or protecting the public. Pollution, not emissions. Pollution is a much better term for that. Land, air, and water, not environment. Let's make it real to people. Conservation, not environmental. And finally, American and not federal. So here are some examples of candidates who have used the environment as a winning message and a winning strategy in their campaigns. The first is Nanette Berrigan. She represents the 44th Congressional District. She is a former Hermosa Beach councilwoman and has a long list of public service, whether it's working the White House under President Bill Clinton, NAACP, or the Los Angeles Legal Aid Foundation, has a long history of public service. Nanette ran against a fellow Democrat in the 44th Congressional District. The district itself is more working class and has a presence of some heavy industry. One of her strategies was to cast doubt on her opponent's commitment as opposed to a constituent, as opposed to his loyalty to special interest groups. And she had a couple different fact points to highlight that. There's offshore drilling in California. There was a plastic ban bag where he cited on the side of special interests as opposed to his constituents. And she effectively highlighted that in a winning effort. In addition, she also talked about the economy in a way that resonated with those voters. She talked about bringing clean energy jobs to a district that previously had relied on dirty energy production. And with that, she ended up winning by about 4.5 percentage points. And so this is one example of a candidate effectively using the environment as a winning issue. Chuck McGrady, he's a state representative in North Carolina's 117th district. He's formerly the president of the Sierra Club. He owned and ran a summer camp in North Carolina for years. And he's a co-chair of a couple of powerful committees in North Carolina, the Appropriations Committee and the Environmental Review Commission. The fun fact about Chuck, he's a self-identified Republican environmental leader. And he comes to the environment or supporting the environment from a conservative perspective. And this is his quote, which I really like. "I think protecting the water and air for future generations is really a conservative value." So here's a Republican who has won overwhelmingly in his district. In fact, ran unopposed in 2016 because he is so popular, talking about this to other Republican voters in a way that resonates. So if you're a Republican running, you can use the environment as a winning campaign message. To summarize this first module, you can win using the environment as your core message. You need to, though, make sure that you connect your environmental message to the right voter. Know your audience. Know what you're trying to get from that potential voter. Are you trying to register them because they're not registered, but they would vote for you if they got activated, if they joined the process? Are they a supporter of yours, someone who's registered but might not vote unless you really motivate them, mobilize them? Can you use the environment to do that? Or could you be an undecided voter? Maybe you're an independent, maybe you're a moderate Republican, and you can use the environment as a way to help persuade that voter. Understanding your audience and the messages that are going to impact that audience is crucial. But one thing that you can definitely feel comfortable doing is talking about the environment regardless of audience, because it does have a positive impact on your campaign. So I'd encourage all of you to make sure that you explore the website for more tools and resources. This is sort of a cursory glance at it. There's a lot more information on there. So if you have questions, please go to the website, explore the different tools and resources we have, because I know we have the answers there.